The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome to a happy hour. And again, I'll say it's nice to see you all. What a blessing it is to be able to practice together. And today, I want to talk a little bit about this idea of, well, what are we doing, this whole happy hour business, or this whole meditation business, all of this. Oh, my goodness, there's all these people in the waiting room. I forgot. Oh, no, all these poor people. I forgot to turn off the waiting room. They've been probably wondering, like, what's going on? So apologies to all of those that were in the waiting room. I just kind of, forgot to switch it so to let everybody in. So welcome. Okay, so I was just going to start talking, saying about some of the purpose maybe of why we do mindfulness practices, why we do loving kindness practices, why we do any meditation practices. And this idea of maybe we might say spiritual maturity, or I don't know, it feels uncomfortable to talk about it, but this idea that, you know, that there's some growing that we want to do. We want to have some more ease in our life, maybe some more clarity, some more freedom, certainly some more peace. And that there's a number of ways in which we might look at this or consider how the benefits or how it's showing up in our life. And one way is how we respond when difficulties arise. Mm. Have you noticed difficulties arise? Right? It's not like it ends, right? It's not like we finally get some meditative experience and all difficulties go away. It's more our relationship and the way that we can work with them. And maybe some things that weren't difficulties before are no longer difficulties, but there's still, you know, things to that maybe don't match our preferences. And Jack Kornfield has this story in his book, A Path with Heart, about the poison tree. And I really love this story. When I first I don't remember if I heard about it or read about it quite some time ago, it had a big impact on me. So I'd like to share it with you now. So the story goes like this. So on first, when a poison tree is discovered, a tree that has poison fruit, some people just see its immediate danger and their reaction is, we have to cut it down. We have to get rid of this before we get hurt or before anybody else eats this poison fruit. We have to protect everybody else and this has to go. Okay, where is the saw or the chainsaw or whatever it might be, right? And this, of course, is our initial reaction to difficulties. No, thank you. This has to go. And we try to find a way to make it go, some version of a chainsaw. Maybe. And maybe I'll add, there's often a certain blaming too. We blame ourselves, we blame others, we blame, you know, institutions, or there's these kind of like these initial responses often we have to whatever these difficulties might be, whether we've been treated poorly, or seen others being treated poorly. Maybe if we have stress, we have loss, conflict, sorrow, grief, depression, all these types of things that show up in our lives. We tend to respond in this way, like, let's get rid of this. Let's chop it down. Let's uproot it. We have to avoid it. And then Jack describes in his book that and he uses this expression, with more spiritual maturity, that or have journeyed, I like this kind of expression, journeyed further along the path, that they discover this poison tree and they don't have this initial aversion. Instead, that they recognize that we, to be present for our lives includes being present for the difficulties, and that it requires this compassion for everything that we encounter, everybody that we encounter. And so, and this recognition that things are, you know, arise out of conditions, they're not just magically arising. So these individuals say, let's not cut the tree down. Instead, and we need to have compassion for the tree and all the creatures that are growing or living in the tree. And, you know, it's part of this whole ecosystem. Let's not cut down the tree, but instead, let's build a fence around it to protect ourselves and so that others won't be poisoned by it either. And so this is a huge shift. Instead of saying, nope, go away, we have to get rid of it, we have to chop it down, instead to say, no, it can stay, but, you know, let's create some boundaries, some separation from it. And this comes out of compassion and respect for whatever's happening. So this is a huge shift from fear and aversion to compassion. And of course, our practice helps us with this shift. We might think like, okay, that this is a spiritually mature person. But then the story continues. And there's a third type of person who sees this poison tree and says, oh, a poison tree, perfect, just what I was looking for. And they pick the fruit and they investigate it and they look at it and they add some other ingredients and they work with it and make medicine out of it that can heal themselves and heal others and maybe like transform their something, the ills of the world maybe. And so this idea of that with some respect and some understanding and some willingness to engage with the difficulties in a way that recognizes that they can also, that can be tremendously healing, not only for ourselves, but for others. And of course, this is true how some medicines are made too, right? Or from some things that are poisonous. So just this recognition that all of us have difficulties, but there can be a shift in the way in which we relate to them, how we approach them, what we do with them. And this is part of what happy hour, this practice is, you know, loving kindness practice is, but as well as mindfulness practice, is a way to help us increase our capacities to be with the difficulties so that we don't just get lost with our initial aversion and wanting it to go away and a certain amount of hatred might arise towards the difficulties. And with this increased capacity, then we can grow and see how that we can have compassion and that our difficulties actually can be tremendous medicine. And that we don't have to try to excise them, but they can be transformed. And of course, I'm going to say this is not easy. This is not fast. It's not quick. It's not clean. It's not linear. It's part of a journey, but this is how we do the journey, is practicing. And part of it is being in a community too, like this wonderful community. So this idea of the poison tree, and all of us have some version of the poison tree in our lives. Excuse me, just a little cough there. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's Let's do some practice together. Bring in our attention to the experience of this moment as we take our posture for meditation. Feeling into maybe the pressure of the seat against our body. Feeling into the experience of breathing. Feeling the stretching, the expansion, and the subsequent contraction. With the rhythm of breathing. Resting the attention on the sensations of breathing. And when the mind wanders, you just simply, gently begin again. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's straightforward, uncomplicated, easy to feel warm-heartedness, to feel love, to feel kindness. It can be someone you know. It can be an imaginary creature, being. It can be somebody who has touched your life, but you don't necessarily have a relationship with them. Visualizing this lovable being. And to help us connect, can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Just doing this simple meditation practice can be a tremendous support for if we're experiencing difficulties, to find some spaciousness in our hearts and minds. And if we're not experiencing particular difficulties, it can be nourishing, fueling, to allow the heart and mind to rest in loving kindness. This increases our capacity to be with difficulties. Connecting with the lovable being May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And then to extend our loving kindness to include ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Sometimes it's not as easy to do loving kindness for ourselves. That's okay. You just softly, gently stay with the practice as best we can. May I be saved. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. then can we extend our loving kindness practice to be with those we don't know? Maybe somebody on this Zoom call, somebody in your neighborhood you see occasionally. Can we extend this warm-heartedness to strangers? May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. It's helpful if you have an individual in mind as opposed to just the generic others we don't know. But that can be challenging. Maybe we just keep on coming back. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. And of course, expanding our capacity to be with difficulties, it can be helpful to practice equanimity. So for this practice, bring into mind somebody who's a little bit troublesome, not the most difficult person, somebody who's a little irksome. Bringing them to mind. somebody you care about, but sometimes it's a little rough rather than smooth. And we can use this phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your wishes, your choices for you. Maybe in the same way that lifting weights in the gym helps us to be stronger in our life, practicing equanimity in this way helps equanimity to arise in our life. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. This idea of, you know, the maybe it feels sometimes a little awkward to talk about this, but sometimes we view our spiritual life this way, not always. But sometimes we view it like, okay, is there a journey? Is there a movement? Is there progress? Or is there a function for why I'm doing this? And to be sure, it is not helpful to always be concerned about this or to always be thinking about this or to measure and evaluate. But one way that we might consider our practice is helping us to deal with difficulties. And that there might be some types of difficulties that are easier for us now. And we still have difficulties with certain types of difficulties, but just this recognition that all spiritual practices, I would say, not only just meditation, but are to help one find some more ease in their life and to work with this human condition, so many things that befall us. So it can be helpful to talk about some of these ideas with others. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms while you have an opportunity to discuss this idea of having that loving kindness practice as a way to help us with the poison tree, all these different ways that these poison trees pop up and show up in our lives. Oops. So I'd like to put you in groups of three or four. And it's helpful to not say all of your ideas all at once, your first idea, but maybe just share one thing and then let it go to the next person. And just they share one thing, then let it go to the next person, and then they share one thing. And then let it come back around to you. So allowing yourself to be influenced by others, to be reminded of other things, so that you might even hear yourself say something new that you haven't heard before, or you might have like a new idea. So as opposed to just informing others, creating the conditions in which we might have some new ideas ourselves. So, well, if it's helpful, you can go in the order of, why don't we just go alphabetical order, kind of the old-fashioned way. Sometimes that's the easiest. And here we go. Welcome back. Welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share? From the breakout group or from the practices we did. Yes, Fred.
Well, it just occurs to me that this is a place where I regularly sit down and talk with men in a really forthright and honest way, and I really appreciate it. You know, it's I have like a lot of male friends, guys I grew up with. We still get together. I've always had intimate male relationships, but usually there's so many barriers to that kind of friendship and honesty. And you know, we just had there were three guys in our session here, and I just I really appreciate those guys, and I really appreciate this opportunity to be able to do this again and again. I think it's pretty rare out in the world, and thank you all.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Fred. Thank you. Thank you. Co.
Yes. I'm glad you brought up the subject of spiritual progress, spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. Because I think that without that idea, it's easier to just become static and not be paying enough attention to yourself, and being more honest with oneself I feel like I've made some progress recently, partly because of listening to the 7 o'clock and being a regular part of this group now. And I need to make progress because I have not been happy with myself, and I want to change. I think that's an important perspective.
Thank you, Co. Yeah, it can be tricky, but sometimes we can use it to beat ourselves up too, right? Like, oh, I should be like this. Look, everybody else is like that, and I'm not like this or something, right? So we can fall into that trap. We can also fall into the trap of just kind of like zoning out, checking out, or, you know, just using practice as a way to avoid our difficulties.
Yeah.
There's different ways to engage with it and maybe handle it or think about it or work with it. But thank you for highlighting this.
Thank you.
Okay, so here we are at the top of the hour. So thank you all for your practice and for our coming together. And if you'd like, you can unmute and we'll say goodbye. So bye-bye, and thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Bye.